Sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on radio. It's Sam in the Morning, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday, February 19th. I'm back in the studio with Charlotte.
Hey, everyone.
Welcome back.
Thank you. It's nice to be back.
Yeah. It's a beautiful morning, huh?
Mm-hmm.
It really is nice here. For everybody who's snowed in, this is the place to be. You know, I don't know why people even live up north, you know. It's so crazy.
Seriously, when you could be somewhere as beautiful and it's year-round gorgeous weather.
Right, exactly, you know. And the thing is, if you noticed, the countries that win the most medals in the Winter Olympics are cold places, like cold countries, you know, because I think they're accustomed to that weather. So you get like Russia and Norway and Sweden and all these places, you know, that obviously do winter sports all the time. So
I was watching it last night and they were doing, it was the skiing, the half pipe, but for skiing, not for snowboarding.
Right.
And it was snowing, misty, like you could barely even see the people jumping.
Really?
I was like, this is intense. This is, how do they know where they're going to land?
And, right.
I don't know, props to them. Winter sports are dangerous.
I know. And
oh, my God.
I know. They go so fast on those skis, you know. It's like frightening. Go really high, you know, when they jump and stuff.
Yeah, and the skeleton where they're going head first down the ice track.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That every time I watch, I get anxiety.
Really?
Oh, my God. Are they going to die?
I know. And it's funny because you don't get any like African countries, Asian countries that much, you know, that are like warm places. So I think there's something to that theory, you know. But yeah, I mean, that's one skill I don't want to have, is to learn how to live in cold weather.
You know? I did it and it's not fun. I'm good in the warmth.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, because you were in Florida too and it's sunny most of the time too, although you told us it was very humid there.
Yeah, really humid and a lot of storms, but
yeah,
I like them.
See, I thought it was only humid like around Miami and stuff because it's near the ocean, but you were in where?
Tallahassee.
In Tallahassee, yeah. That's what I thought, yeah. Is that like a beach town too?
No.
It's not, right?
Like, I think it's like an hour from the beach. I never went to the beach unless I was in South Florida.
Right.
But no, it's super humid.
Wow.
Super humid.
So it's miserable, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grossly warm.
God. I don't know how people do it, man. But I love being here, although I don't know if you saw this yesterday, but someone posted on Facebook there was an accident on the 101 freeway here, which for those of you who don't know is like the busiest freeway in the world. That's what it's supposed to be anyway.
Oh, really?
Or the 405, yeah, one of those.
I didn't know that. Cool.
Well, but when they meet, where they meet, the 101 and the 405, that's considered like the busiest intersection in the world, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. And no wonder. I mean, you always get there and you get stuck. It doesn't go anywhere.
Oh, my gosh. It can take you an hour just to go, just to do the intersection from the 101 to go down to the 405 South.
I know.
I avoid
terrible.
At all costs.
I know. Especially during rush hour. Mm-hmm. My God. So apparently what happened on the 101, there was an accident yesterday which blocked like all the lanes. So people just had to stop, and they were saying people just got out of their cars and started walking and stuff, you know. Can you imagine being stuck in something like that?
No.
Remember, I was telling you the accident on the way to Vegas that I saw where people were stuck, but at least there's some hope that you're moving a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But here it's just like a parking lot.
What time was the accident at?
Like during rush hour, I think.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
That's like a nightmare.
I know. You know, I mean, so much for your plans and everything, you know.
Yeah,
you just,
they're out the window.
Yeah, you know. I wonder what people do when there's an emergency. I mean, imagine if you're like rushing to the hospital or something, you know.
Yeah. Wow. I don't know. That, oh.
Yeah.
The thought of sitting in standstill in traffic. Oh, yeah. My gosh.
I know. It's like you feel so helpless, you know.
But most of the time when there is a crash, when things start moving again, as soon as you get back past the crash, the traffic disperses because people just slow down to take a look at what happened.
Right.
And it drives me insane.
Right. Like, rubbernecking is what it's called.
Yeah. It's so annoying.
I know. But you know what? You gotta look, you know, because I'll tell you why people look. Because it's so monotonous on the freeway, you know. There's nothing to see. So suddenly there's some action and you go, hey, what's going on here?
That's true.
How many people dead, you know? It's like that, you know, I mean, it's like a train wreck. People want to watch it, you know.
It is true.
So in a few minutes we're going to have a guest calling us talking about men and what men think and their confessions and things like that. So that sounded pretty interesting, and so we're going to talk to him in a few minutes, and then what else? There were so many things I wanted to discuss today, but I wanted to bring up the fact that this there's a few things in the news that are very funny. And I guess in China, this man wanted to commit suicide. So he did it by jumping into the tiger cage and hoping they would eat him.
What?
So they're saying, like, for 20 minutes he was there. You know, the tiger was dragging him and stuff, but wouldn't eat him or anything, you know?
So he didn't die?
No. No, he didn't die, man.
Oh, my goodness.
So they're saying that he was obviously mentally ill and stuff like that, you know. And he climbed a tree to breach the enclosure, you know, and then he just jumped in there, you know.
Oh, my God. That sounds like an... Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's an awful way. Even
it is, you know, to be mauled like that. But the thing is I guess the tiger just dragged him by the back of his neck, which is pretty...
So he just got really injured and really hurt instead of... But that's like a torturous way of dying.
It is. You know, I don't know what it is, but they're not... I don't know how much damage they did to him, you know, but he said, I asked them to bite me and let them eat my meat, and so I did not fight back.
Is this a real story?
It's a real story in China, you know.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry if it makes you feel queasy. We'll go on to the next topic.
That's intense.
You know, I mean, what the hell? So, you know, I mean, there's different ways to commit suicide and stuff, you know. And people, there's something called suicide by cop, you know, when you try to tease the cops into shooting you and killing you and stuff like that. So, I mean, the ways that people try to die are... just like unimaginable sometimes, you know?
It's really sad.
I don't know how people can do that. I don't know. I'd be scared to do any of these things. So,
yeah,
you know?
Same.
But that's the thing, you know, I think when people are really depressed, it's hard to judge them because their whole outlook is like distorted, you know? And I mean, I've experienced some very deep depressions in my life, and I wouldn't wish anybody to be there. You know, it's just, it's a bad place, you know, and many people have said, there was a point in my life where I was suicidal or I had suicidal thoughts and things like that. But, you know, you got to understand that people, the thing is, the instinct for the humankind is to survive and stay alive, you know, and you can see that instinct in us all the time. But, you know, sometimes you just like you've had enough and you don't want to stay around anymore, and you try to figure out ways to end the pain because it becomes like almost like physical pain, you know. And like I said, it's hard to understand unless you go through it and you can understand what it's like, you know. Just imagine putting on like dark sunglasses and all you see is dark because of it, you know. So just like they say, when you put on rosy-colored glasses, then everything looks great, you know.
Yeah.
So, so, you know, that's that. And then, you know, there's a lot of soldiers that kill themselves and stuff, you know. And
yeah, because of what they've been through, they can't.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, they have this former soldier here. He was in jail for the murder of an Iraqi family. and the rape of like a 14-year-old girl or something in Iraq. And, you know, the thing is that you go, okay, you know, throw them in the slammer and everything. But you have to understand also what these people go through in war. You know, it totally screws them up completely. And I always say, you know, that in order to be a good soldier, the army like deconstructs you and rebuilds you as a fighting machine.
Yeah.
You know, as a killing machine. And then how do you judge these people when they're like in those situations? You know, when they're threatened. But, I mean, I don't know. I wasn't there. But obviously they found him guilty of murder because I can't imagine why he'd want to kill a family or how he could justify that.
Yeah, definitely. I do agree with you that when you're in the army, you are kind of rebuilt.
Right.
And you have to detach yourself from feelings because
Right. You're
killing people. And if you... But you're doing it to save the country. So it's all you have to change your whole mentality to be able to do that and not feel the guilt. But that is why a lot of people end up killing themselves because they can't deal with the fact of what they've done.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's a big problem with troops that return home. And, you know, I feel that society is aware of the problem, but we're not doing enough, you know.
Yeah.
And what happens is that since they are like different people when they come back as soldiers and stuff, it's hard for them to fit into society again, you know,
mm-hmm.
because their views have changed, you know. Maybe they're like, they've got some kind of trauma or something, you know, PTSD, right? The post-traumatic shock syndrome. And... So then they come back into society. They don't know how to hold a normal job, you know. Maybe their attitudes are different. Their outlook on life is different, and they can't fit in. So they try to kill themselves, you know, because what else do you have left? You know, so that's why I feel so bad for people that go to war because it destructs you. It destroys you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's very destructive. So, yeah. So anyway, so this guy that was in jail... he dies after a suicide attempt. He tried to commit suicide in jail, and he succeeded finally. So,
did he try multiple times?
I think just once, you know. But he was sentenced to multiple life sentences terms. So we'll see.
Gosh.
Anyway, our call is coming in, so let's take that. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm calling for Sam. This is Tim Peterson.
Yes,
the,
Tim.
Author of Yes.
Yes, good morning. Welcome to you. How are you?
Fine. How are you doing?
Good. Welcome to the show. I have Charlotte here with me.
Hey, how you doing?
So we're going to talk about men a little bit. Where are you calling us from today, Tim?
New York.
Oh, you're in New York. What, New York City?
No, actually, Long Island.
Oh, Long Island. Okay, well, to me, it's the same thing. As opposed to New York State, you know, like upstate or whatever, you know. So,
you've been here, it's way different.
Yeah, I know. Now, tell us, we were just talking about the snowed-in people. Do you guys still have snow there today?
Every day.
Wow. Wow. I don't know how people can live like that.
We've only had like six snowstorms this season.
Wow.
Only.
It's not that biggie. The worst one was a couple feet, like 2 feet, and you know, sometimes it's a couple inches.
Yeah.
No biggie.
Yeah. It changes your lifestyle though, huh? I mean, you have to like dig out your car and all that kind of stuff, you know? I mean, you have to give yourself extra time.
It's true.
Yeah. People have excuses for flaking out and being late and stuff. Here are the best excuses, and we hear it a lot because we get guests on the station, is the traffic. You know, it's always the traffic. And what I tell them is, look, I've lived here for 35 years. I've never been late once, and I deal with the same traffic, you know? So it's just excuses.
You're a professional.
Yeah, there you go. So, Tim, we'll start with this. I understand you're a former therapist. How long ago did you stop being a therapist?
I stopped around 5 years ago, and then I started kind of like really focusing on the writing because I kind of wanted to... I didn't want to be one of those what-ifs people, like, or like, what if I'd never tried? So... I had a pretty good job as a therapist at a hospital. It was an acute unit, lockdown.
Wow.
So it was basically like a prison. Plastic beds.
Oh my God.
And like nothing on the walls because, and really the kids have nothing because, you know, some of them are suicidal and some of them are dangerous to themselves as well as to others. Some of them were predatory, sexual predators.
Wow.
And some of them were cutters, so they really can't have anything.
So those were kids? Those were kids in that place where you were?
Yeah, that was from 4 to 18.
Oh, my God. Wow.
There was one child that I had. She was the cutest little angel, blonde hair, like a little pixie. And if you saw her, you'd be like, I want to adopt three of those.
Yeah.
She was so cute. But she was basically feral. Like, she had been... Her parents would have sex in front of her, and the cops found her walking the streets at 3 o'clock in the morning naked, and she didn't really develop intellectually, so she was way behind, and she had the worst mouth. I mean, she was very foul-mouthed.
Wow.
And she was manipulative, and she'd bash her head on the wall if she didn't get her way, so...
Oh, my goodness.
It was a cool job.
Yeah, very intense. It sounds like, wow. Wow. You see, that's the thing. I mean, we live our normal lives. We don't know what's going on with people and people's homes and people's, you know, where they put into hospitals and things like that, you know. And are they getting the help they need? I mean, do you see any success with these kids?
That's a very good point. You know, it's not that it's, like, locked away from us, but, you know, it's not out in the open. It's not in society because they're in places getting help or they're... Well, I was in acute. I was working in acute. I also worked in drugs and alcohol, and I also worked with families. So everybody gets help. You know, it's like, it's kind of like if you've got enough time, if you've got the attitude, if you've got the intent, if you've got the desire, a lot of people, they don't want help. They don't have problems, especially in drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
Oh, no, they're forcing me to be here. I don't have a drinking problem. I don't have a drug problem. I just had the dumb luck to get caught drinking and driving, and now I'm forced to be here.
Yeah.
And so a lot of them have issues. A lot of us, period, have issues.
Right.
But for me, well, the long story short, people do get help.
Yeah.
It depends on the therapist. It depends on so many things.
Right. And how long did you do that for?
Like between 5 and 10 years.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Like, did that like translate into a home life? Did you struggle with that? That's an intense job and pretty sad. Did you go home and think, wow?
That's a very good question. And it is tough for some people. For me, I'm particularly, not to brag, but I'm particularly strong emotionally. So I don't shy away from pain. I don't turn to avoidance factors to deal with the pain of loss, the pain of a breakup. What I mean by avoidance factors are anything that we use to avoid our stuff, which can be drugs, alcohol, obviously food, porn, even sex, shopping, gambling. I mean, the list goes on. Cleaning, work, exercise. So I'm to tell you the truth, the worst part or the hardest part about that job for me was the paperwork.
Really? Wow.
I relished the interaction. One of my clients would come in, and she was a cutter, and she was borderline personality disorder, probably, and she would stick pins in herself.
Oh my God.
And her father had exposed her to porn, and she was in her 30s. She'd be screaming at me, yelling. Wow. Everybody in the whole building could hear her, because that's how she was expressing her stuff, her angst.
A lot of anger,
I couldn't get enough.
Yeah.
I loved working with her, and I loved the work, because, truthfully, it's exciting.
Yeah.
You know, actually, now that I think of it, there was one day on the acute unit, a man, I guess he was in his 40s, and his daughter had been on a drug bender for a week. And he sat there, and he had no idea, and he just started bawling.
Yeah.
His 40-year-old man just crying because he was so upset about his daughter
right.
being a drug addict. And that was painful for me to watch.
Yeah.
And this other kid, they were leaving him because he was really bad news and they couldn't cope. And he, in the hallway, he was begging them, please, mommy, please, daddy, don't leave me.
Yeah, wow, how painful so that is.
Yeah.
It was rough.
Yeah, tears your heart apart.
It is very sad.
Yeah, and I think very often the kids don't even understand what's happening to them. They're just like that. That's their norm, you know, and... it's a very sad thing. So let's move on to a little more cheerful things. you wrote several books on a series of books that about men talking, and it's called Men Talk, right?
Yes.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about that. How did that come about after being a therapist?
Well, I've been putting this stuff together for years, and I was putting things down that I thought people would relate to, and I thought I was trying to put together work that was entertaining, as well as non-judgmental, and the point of the stuff is the major theme, I think, if you look at it, is that a lot of people are into a lot of things, and sometimes they feel alone, but you can look at these. You can look at these topics and see I'm not the only one that feels like this about my children or about my wife or about my parents or about my sexual desires.
Right.
And I've been working on these for a long time, so the internet has really exploded in the meantime, so it's easier to access stuff. But the kind of cool thing about these books is the main one, Men Talk, the flagship book, that covers it all, from feeling disgruntled about our leaders and our political leaders, to, you know, not putting celebrities on a pedestal, or mental health issues and struggling with fears and doubts and mediocrity and struggling with raising children and in some cases even hating.
Right.
I mean, believe it or not, a lot of parents hate their children.
Wow.
And it feels very weird because you're not supposed to hate your children. You're
right.
supposed to love them no matter what. But it's a very common theme.
Really? So, and people don't talk about it.
Who's going to admit it? Hey,
right.
Hey, guess what, Sam? I decided today I hate my daughter. I hate her guts. I wish I never had her. No.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the other cool thing about these books is you see a lot of things that people don't admit openly, even to close friends, because it's, you know, like, it might be, like, how many of your best friends might say, hey, Sam, you know what, I'm thinking about leaving my wife because I think I'm into men and I want to explore my bisexuality or even my homosexuality and try this and this and this. And this book really spells that out, being in the closet, being bisexual, coming out, and that's more so in gay men talk.
Right. So, I see. So you wrote one specifically for gay men, too.
They used to be mixed.
Okay.
But I, talking to my friends and my partner, not my lover, my
right.
work partner.
Okay.
I'm not dating anybody, just to be clear. But what
okay.
I'm saying is, they thought it would be better to have just a straight men talk book and then a specific gay men talk book because they thought it would be off-putting
right.
to people. But I guess it could be, but...
No, I agree, because it's a different audience, you know, and you and
right.
and they probably have different concerns. I mean, you brought up some concerns that men have that women have too, you know, so, you know, it's just that you're giving us the men's perspective, but you know there's some things that are unique to men, like for example, like father's rights and things like that. You know, does anybody in your book touch on those things as well? Like, you know, the fact that, you know, in a divorce, you lose the kids, and there's not much you can do about it.
good point. Yes, yeah. It's not specifically for father's rights.
Right.
But like the book is all quotes. They're short. They're almost like sound bites. At most, a paragraph. So they're very easy reads, and what it does have are a couple quotes around, let's say, alimony and a partner getting half your stuff or your junk just because you were married. So, and that is more of a comedic view, but you do bring up a very important topic these days. And for me, I take a very existential approach to life, or experiential, which is, it's not so much about rights and wrongs or goods and bads, but it's the experience.
Right.
You can label a lot of, and that's what we do in our society. We're very black and white about good and bad or good and evil.
Right.
And I'm not like that. I see, because in truth, a lot of challenging experiences which can be perceived as bad or uncomfortable are what help us overcome fear or grow. So,
yeah. You there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. No, I get it. We're talking to Tim Peterson. His website is menttalk.org, and you guys can find the books here, and there's a blog as well, and all kinds of stuff. Did you always like to write, Tim?
It's a funny thing. I find it burdensome.
Yeah.
I hate to be a whiner, but like, I like creating and I like ideas. But writing is challenging, because if you're a perfectionist, or it's got to be like my books, if you look at them, you'll see I'm all over the place. The books are very liberal. They're very somewhat anti-establishment. They're very intense sexually, very open, but they're also very funny. And so I might hear somebody say something, a friend or a client, or even at an airport, I'll write it down, but it's not good enough. So it's got to be short and to the point, and it's got to be punchy. So it takes time to get that formula.
That's true.
Even my mental health stuff, my family stuff, my drug and alcohol stuff, my meaning of life stuff, it's all got to be just right. It can't be too much. And I try not to give too many answers. I'd rather it be interpretive at times.
Right.
So you decide what it's about to you.
Right. Sounds good to me. Everybody go out and check out the website again, menttalk.org. And there's the book Men Talk, and then there's Gay Men Talk. Are there any... So it's the two books so far?
No, there's actually five. There's Men Talk Sex, which is a really big book.
Oh, wow.
There's also, if you remember Yogi Berra, he had a thing called Yogi-isms.
Uh-huh.
And they were all short, and Men Talk Isms,
uh-huh.
I kind of borrowed his idea, was that's all shorty quotes that are kind of confusing. An example is, okay, here's one of them. Don't tell me I don't care. I don't, but you don't know that for sure.
Right.
Or, okay. All right, here's one. I'm a night farter. My partner is a morning farter. Somehow we make it work.
So,
that's men talkisms. And then the crudest one, or the most intense one, is men talk solids, liquids, and gases.
Uh-huh. Oh, God. Okay, well, but that's cool, because you explore areas that, you know, are intimate for people, but they don't talk about them, you know?
It's very... The books are fun, they're insightful, and I might have sent you a sampler so you can see sections from all the books, but I'll be happy to send you any of the books just for your own... For the both of you, just for your own enjoyment.
Sure.
And, yeah, and it's easy. They're PDFs. I mean, they're e-books. So they're paperbacks too, but e-book. You know, two seconds later, you've got the book.
That's true. I like that. Yeah, mm-hmm. I like that. You know, I'm a reader. I like to read a lot, and I love books. And I saw the e-books as a threat to real books, and I love the real books. And a lot of people that are readers love physical books, you know, mm-hmm. the holding it, the smell, everything, the turning of the pages. But you know what? I found that you can use both. You know, I have a Kindle, and sometimes you do want the book right away, mm-hmm. you know, and it's and you can take all the books with you and just one machine and one device. So it's cool. All right. Well, Tim Peterson, thank you so much. You're a lot of fun. And congratulations on the books. I know it's like a little baby. When which book did you write last? Which is the most recent one?
That would be Solids. And again, that's the most intense. And it's also very fun, but it's pretty crazy. But
yeah.
they're all like that. So
yeah. Men
very,
talk solids.
They're very stimulating.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, men talk solids, liquids, and gases. So you guys want to catch that. It's a great title, if nothing else.
Very catchy.
All right, Tim. Well, congratulations to you. All the best. And thank you for coming on the show.
And thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Of course. Best of luck to you.
Have a bye-bye. Great day.
Thanks. Thanks to both of you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, you know. Yeah, men talk, but it was pretty interesting to hear that some people hate their kids, you know.
Right?
Yeah. Well, sometimes I feel I hate mine. No, not really. I just get pissed at him, but I love him to death.
There's a difference,
you know?
Though, between, I mean, hate is such a strong word.
It's a strong word. It's a strong
and,
word.
And, I mean, I'm sure I get on my mom's nerves a lot.
Yeah, but it's far from hatred. Yeah.
I know,
it's far from hatred. But, yeah, but then, you know, you never know. Some people may have kids that are really, you know.
I guess so. Yeah. And, I mean, talking about when he was at the psychiatric ward and, like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's painful.
I know. But thank goodness there's people that actually are willing to do that kind of work,
definitely.
You know, and help people. That's how I feel about like paramedics and nurses and doctors. I mean, you know, these are jobs that most people probably couldn't handle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, to be like an orderly or something and clean up people's shit and, my God, and put catheters in and stuff. My God, how can people do that, you know? But, I'm grateful that there are people. Otherwise, mm-hmm. who would do these kind of jobs, you know?
They save people's lives.
Yeah, definitely. So it's good that some people don't care about solids, liquids, and gases.
That's funny. I was looking I think the Gay Men Talk is a really good book because I know a lot of people that, especially these days, it's hard for them
to express
themselves. Well, they don't
know
what they like, and the coming out process is hard.
Yeah.
It's getting easier because it's a lot more known, but
right.
I think that's a really...
Yeah, it's a lot more acceptable now, but it's still, I mean, it's still a long way for gays to you know, fit into the mainstream without being singled out, you know. So, but yeah, I mean, we are making progress, and that's a good thing, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah, anyway, so yeah, I mean, there's a lot that men talk about, and there's a lot that women talk about that men aren't privy to, you know, and so it's pretty cool to get into the minds of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did wonder if the name attracts women too.
Oh.
Or just men.
Probably, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. Do you like flying in airplanes?
Yes.
You do like it.
I do.
Now, what happens when there's turbulence? You don't care? It doesn't bother you?
It doesn't bother me.
Even if it's like really strong turbulence?
No, not
okay.
really.
Okay, even to the point if someone got hurt?
Oh, well, that's different.
You've never been to turbulence like that before.
No.
But apparently there were just a couple of them this week. You know, yesterday there was a Cathay Pacific flight from San Francisco to Hong Kong, and some people in the crew... And six passengers were hospitalized. So it was severe turbulence, you know.
Oh my gosh.
And then earlier this week, I remember also a United, I think it was United plane. Let's see what it says. But it doesn't really matter. It was here locally or domestically. And also, that's what happens because usually the crew is not seated mm-hmm. with a seatbelt.
It's
you know,
true.
They're walking around, and that's why they're always the ones that get hurt. So it's, you know, but still, I mean, they're showing a picture of the plane, and it looks like a storm has been through it, you know. I mean, it's like everything just flew in the air, you know, there and stuff. So, yeah, I've got a problem with turbulence.
Well, it depends how bad it is. I've flown a lot.
Right.
And I've never, touch wood, witnessed really bad.
She hits her head. There's wood on the table.
Yeah, I have a wood table in front of me and I touch my head. But thankfully, I've never witnessed bad turbulence. But I do always think about, have you ever seen the movie Final Destination?
Yeah.
When the guy,
I don't know which one though.
He sees in his head that the plane's going to blow up.
Yeah.
And I still, I don't know. And there's different parts of that movie. There's one where the girl gets trapped inside a tanning bed. Uh-huh. Tanning beds scare me so much because of that movie. I will not go in one because I'm convinced I'm going to be trapped and burned to death.
Whoa.
But the movie with the plane, I always like, you don't know if the plane's going to blow up or what could go wrong.
I know. So I know. It's so scary. You know, if I can have only one thing in life is to die quickly, you know, and painlessly, you know. Mm-hmm. I feel so bad for people that get sick. You know, I mean, my parents are getting older. They're limited in what they can do and stuff, their movements. And you're just like, God, man, that's like slow death, you know, like that. And what happens today is like we prolong people's lives, you know. And I don't think the human body was designed to live so many years, you know. I mean, people used to die after 40, 50 years. And so we're prolonging life. But what happens is bodies get diseased because I don't think they're designed for that.
Yeah.
You know, parts of the body stop working. So, Yeah, so anyway, whatever I was saying. But
I'd never thought about it like that, that really the body is only meant for 40, 50 years, and that's why like things stop working. And
yeah, I think so. You know, because, I mean, we're prolonging life, and for what, you know? I mean, you know, often it's just people. I mean, look at people that are connected to machines and stuff in the hospital. We keep them alive for years, you know? I mean, what's the point? You know,
that's sad.
So yeah. So if there's anything, you know, just let me go fast. And a plane is not fast, okay? When you're falling off the sky, that's not going to be fast.
Ouch. I would love to go skydiving because I think that's cool. But
really?
If the parachute didn't open,
oh my god,
it'd be my worst nightmare.
Yeah. I know. And you know what? I mean, I used to like heights. I flew. I had a pilot's license, or I was almost had the license. I was taking lessons when I lived in Vegas. And I had a couple of close calls, you know, with like spinning the plane and stuff. And
the plane actually spun?
Yeah. Yeah. I've told the story many times, but I was flying near Vegas, you know, because that's where I lived. And I went on my solo flight. And, you know, after a while, flying a plane is just like monotonous, so you want to do things with it. And during lessons, they show you how to stall the plane so you know how to get out of that stall. Because sometimes planes will stall if the angle is not right or something. So so that's what I did. I started practicing stalls, and I did one that was a little too deep, and the plane just lost its, you know, lift and started spinning toward the earth, you know, going vertically.
Oh, my God.
And I'm, like, looking at the earth, and I'm going, God, not yet, no, you know? And but thankfully, before that, the instructor had done this before and showed me how to come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to keep, you know, I mean, here you are speeding toward the earth and you're thinking, what am I going to do? But somehow it all came back to me. The ailerons, which is like the wheel, you know, they don't work when you're going vertically. So you can't turn it. So it's just the back flaps. And, you know, in order to do that, you have to use your feet. And, you know, and all these things.
Oh, my.
So I came out of it, and yeah, there's like G-forces on you. You don't know if you're up or down, you know. And but it didn't scare me. I still flew after that, you know. And but now I don't think I could do that. I think getting older has gotten me a little scared, you know. So I don't enjoy flights that much anymore, and I try to sleep on them. as soon as I get my seat.
That's what I do. Yeah. I fall right asleep, and most of the time I don't even wake up when, yeah, when there's turbulence.
I know, and it makes the flight much easier, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, all those cross-Atlantic flights are really long.
Yeah.
Right?
You need some good movies.
Yeah.
Makes, yeah, it go quicker.
And from England to here, it's probably like, what, like 8 hours or something,
it's
right?
Like 8 or 9 hours, right, to like New York.
Oh, to New York?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
If you flew direct from London to here, it would have to be
direct,
less than... There's no...
There's no direct flights.
From London to L.A.?
No.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, not that I know of. Maybe there is, but
there's
got
to be.
Not that I know of.
Come
but
on.
I think it would
London
be around
is huge.
Probably 13 hours.
You see, I don't think it would be that long because when I come back from Israel, it's 14 hours. And the thing is, it takes about 4 hours to fly from Israel to England, you know.
True.
So it's got to be less than that. Now, it's not going to be necessarily 4 hours less because, you know, they go like near the poles, near the North Pole and stuff. So it's not like a direct flight in a, you know, like in a straight line, mm-hmm, type of a thing. But it's the 14-hour flight kills me, man, and it's
so that's
just like
straight from Israel.
That's straight, yeah.
Huh? I
didn't, straight flight.
Maybe,
yeah,
they do straight flights. I've never.
They have to. Yeah, I mean, London is a big place. LA is a big place. Yeah, and but my point is, those long flights can really, like, they can be murder. You know,
mm-hmm,
you want to get out. You feel claustrophobic. You realize I can't get out of here now.
Especially on the way back.
Right.
Because on the way there, you're excited to get there.
Right.
You know, but on the way back, you just want to be home.
Right.
It's like, just get me off this plane.
I know.
I don't want to go through customs. I don't want to go through baggage claim. I just want to,
right,
be home.
And then on top of all that, they would delay your plane or something, right, you know, because of weather or whatever. And it's such a pain in the ass, mm-hmm, you know. I mean, my God, I remember when I came back from Sacramento last month. The flight was delayed like 4 hours. I mean, it's a 45-minute flight. It was delayed by 4 hours. I thought I was going to die just sitting in the airport. You know, I hate waiting, man. Mm. That's one thing about me.
And it makes it such a treacherous trip.
It does.
When it's a 45-minute plane ride, you only have to be there like 45 minutes before.
Right.
And then there's a four-hour delay.
Right.
Ugh.
I know. How do you get delayed by 4 hours? Who knows? But I think it was affected by what was going on back east and stuff. So maybe that was that. I don't know. So a couple of other things in the news that I wanted to bring up is, I guess in Kansas now, there's a spanking bill controversy. I guess someone is proposing a bill that says that to give school teachers and caregivers expanded rights to spank children, and it's not intended to legalize child abuse, right? Now, the thing is that they're saying that caregivers or teachers would be allowed to spank children up to 10 times, possibly causing redness and bruising.
So it's kind of like the cane.
Yeah.
How that used to be.
Yeah, exactly. That's the kind of picture they have next to the story here. It's an old-time picture with a woman caning. But, yeah, I mean, come on. You know, this is like the 21st century. Mm-hmm. We're going to do this?
Seriously.
You know?
I don't even believe in parents doing that.
Right.
So.
Exactly. You know, I never had to spank my kids. Maybe some children are out of control or something, and that's the only language they understand. I don't know. I never had to deal with it. So that's why I try not to judge. But at the same time, I can't wrap my mind around spanking your kids and thinking it's a good thing.
And for teachers, someone who they're not even connected to the family.
Yeah. For the teacher, mm-hmm, absolutely not. You know.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying, even with teachers, you know, it's like, I mean, they're like, they're totally like describing what it would be, you know. It's like the legislation would allow for spanking up to 10 forceful applications in succession of a bare open hand palm against the clothed buttocks of a child. And any such reasonable physical force on a child may be necessary to hold, restrain, or control the child.
There's going to be so many issues with that.
Because, yeah,
like I said, if the parents don't do it, there's two different kinds of family. Parents,
right,
that do that and parents that don't. And,
right,
and I mean, I don't know if either would be okay with that. But especially the people that don't, the parents that don't even do it to their kids, are definitely not going to want a teacher to do that.
Right.
Like, there's other ways of disciplining people. Right.
Yeah. But I can't imagine that spanking a kid like this would not leave scars.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, just for the sake of the moment, you know, to ruin the kid's life doesn't make sense to me.
And being in front of classmates and peers.
Right. How embarrassing is that? Huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, kids would commit suicide. This is like bullying by adults. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. You know, going beyond bullying.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So, and that's in Kansas State, which I can't believe at all, man.
Hopefully it doesn't get approved.
Yeah, I know.
Fingers crossed.
So, now there was also a story on a cruise ship where I guess an employee, one of the crew, is accused of physically and sexually assaulting a female passenger. Now, you got to hear the story because I don't know why they wrote this about the sexual assault, because the story doesn't mention any sexual assault, just physical assault. And apparently what happened is this woman called room service. So he showed up at the cabin and knocked and knocked and knocked and nobody answered. So finally, the woman inside, a 30-year-old woman, U.S. citizen, finally, you know, she heard him and she shouted out to him, "Wait a minute, son of a bitch." And then later she opened the door and he left the food there. So later he got like really irritated with that. You know, he got offended by it. So he went back and used his master key, got in and attacked her. With everything he could reach, her laptop, her, you know, the lamp, whatever, you know, beat the hell out of her. And then she had a balcony in the room. He tried to push her overboard from the balcony. And, so, you know, I mean, a curling iron, he beat her up with that.
What?
And she fought back with a corkscrew. But I don't think she hit him or anything.
Oh, my God. What? What cruise line is that?
That was, I think, Holland America or something. Let me see which one it is.
Well, they're going to lose business.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, Holland America.
Just the fact that he left the food and then later came back because he was irritated.
Right.
That's, just forget about it.
Yeah. Like, exactly. Yeah, you don't do stuff like that, you know. Yeah. But, yeah, because some passengers are like that, you know. I mean, I'm sure she didn't mean it personally. And even if she did, you just don't do that kind of shit,
no.
You know. But people are crazy, you know. And
is she okay?
No, she's injured, you know. She's in the hospital. She hasn't been identified or anything,
I
guess.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But, so this was filed in Florida. So that's probably where the ship sailed from. Have you been on cruises before?
Yeah, I've been on two. I went on one for spring break with my friends in college.
Uh-huh.
And I went on one with my family.
Wow. Where did you go to? The Caribbean? Or,
I went, with my friends. Where did we go? Nassau.
Nassau is nice, yeah.
And then with my family, we went from L.A. to Vancouver. And
Really?
Yeah, it was really pretty. Really
that
pretty.
Would have been nice,
yeah.
Huh? That's cool.
Next, I want to do the Alaskan cruise.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I hear those are nice, too. Yeah.
Have you been on one?
No. I've been on several Mexico cruises, which are not great. The Caribbean one, I went once to St. Thomas in Puerto Rico and... St. John.
Oh, nice.
Those are like small islands,
yeah.
And it was just beautiful there. I enjoyed it a great deal. And I remember exactly when it was, because I remember we were on the ship and Kurt Cobain committed suicide. So I don't know, was that like 1984 or something? I think something like that.
Yeah.
And so I remember it specifically. But I like cruises, you know, they're pretty cool. But lately, I mean, a lot of people have been getting sick from the food and stuff there, you know.
I love the food. All you eat. Oh, my God.
I know.
I
that's
like
all
10
you do
pounds
is eat.
Everyone I go on.
Really?
I eat so much.
I know. It's crazy. All right. Well, that's it for today. We've talked about a lot. We're all talked out. Right? This show used to be 2 hours, believe it or not. But we would take breaks and stuff like that, you know. And then I realized... You know, 9 o'clock is too early for me. You know, we used to do 9 to 11 like a long time ago. But 1 hour is enough. All right, Charlotte. Well, thanks again.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks everybody for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. To get in contact with the show, please send email to info@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.